Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, and tomorrow, January 29th, will be 3 months since Sandy hit. WNYC's Janet Babin is making her way up the coast from Cape May to Montauk to assess how coastal communities are faring 3 months into the recovery, town by town by town, and she joins us from Cape May. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Brian.
So I was surprised to hear you say on the radio this morning that Cape May is actually expecting to have one of their busiest summers ever with more than the usual bookings already. What's the situation in Cape May?
Well, in Cape May, there was very little damage from Sandy. You know, south of Atlantic County, the storm was much weaker, and here there's a wide beach, and they've got a seawall, and I'm looking out on the ocean right now from this hotel I'm in, this Victorian-style hotel, and they had no damage. They're up a little bit, elevated a little bit from the beach, no flooding, and so all the businesses in town think that they might have, it's not exactly schadenfreude, right, but they think that they could get some of the tourists who are out of luck. Perhaps your hotel was in Ortley Beach or on Seaside Heights, and it's demolished or it's not back to normal. Cape May is thinking that perhaps some of those tourists are going to end up in Cape May this summer.
You've been reporting, tell us about your route and where you're going to go this week and how are you going to get there?
Yeah, so we started in Cape May because we kind of wanted to go end to end, right? So Cape May, all the way up to Montauk. We're driving in a red truck. Amy Pearl, a videographer and producer at WNYC, is with me. And we started here in Cape May. Today we're going to go to some of the harder hit areas like Ortley Beach and Mantaloking. We're also going to stop in Long Beach Island that has been the center of the beach replenishment controversy. And then we're going to head up to Seabright where there was a seawall. And then we're going to make our way to Staten Island. And then we're going to head later in the week into Long Island, Long Beach, possibly Massapequa, and ending up in Montauk. But if listeners have ideas about where we should stop along the route, we hope that they let us know. We have a Twitter feed, Coast Check, and so people can send us their photos and their suggestions to WNYC.
Hashtag Coast Check or low-hanging fruit. Call us up right now and talk to Janet Babin, 212-433-WNYC. If you're along the Jersey Shore, what would you like her to see? Anybody listening from the Cape May area right now? Janet told us that this beach hotel that she's staying in the middle of January, in the snow, was full last night. So that's pretty amazing. So anybody from the Cape May area, since that's where she is right now, or what else would you like Janet to visit and see as she does this week-long tour along the coast from Cape May to Montauk? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 from any beachfront community affected by Sandy, 212-433-9692. And I see the phones are starting to ring, and we'll get to those calls in just a minute. Janet, I know you've been reporting on one big question following Sandy, and that is to rebuild or not to rebuild in various places. Some people think it's madness to build back in the same locations that were utterly destroyed in the storm and now have been hit by floods repeatedly. And some people think it's madness not to, because shore culture, shore economy is just too important to give away. What do you see as the central issues in this debate?
Well, I think that on the one end of the spectrum, you have people like Orrin Pilkey, Duke professor emeritus at Duke, saying we really need to pull back and we need to make some sort of generational strategic retreat from the shore, and that it's going to happen anyway, whether we want it to or not, because we're not going to have the money to keep rebuilding. Now we're talking about billions in federal aid for the Northeast, in Sandy aid. But if this happens again and again, Brian, the question is, how eager will the federal government, will taxpayers be willing to repay again and again to rebuild these same areas, especially when we might have more pressing issues like what is happening because of sea level rise and global climate change to our cities that are also dealing with rising water.
You mentioned Orrin Pilkey from Duke University, who I thought was very interesting in your story this morning. And he framed this question of whether to rebuild as affecting more people than just those who live in beach communities. Listen.
It's very likely that the cost of saving New York will be so great. And, of course, that also includes Philadelphia and Boston and Miami and so forth, that barrier islands will become low priority and people will be forced to retreat whether they like it or not.
So, Janet, explain that. Does he mean to say that at some point we're going to have to spend so much money to save things from global warming, sea level rise, that are more central to cities like New York, Philadelphia, and Boston, that the question of these barrier islands is just going to become low priority?
Brian, that's exactly right. You know, as we're spending billions on beach nourishment projects in New Jersey, Orrin Pilkey thinks that that issue is going to pale when compared with protecting our cities like the Rockaways and other places that were flooded during Sandy, where hundreds of thousands of people live. He really believes, it's his view, that we're just not going to have the funding to do both. Eventually, something's going to have to give, and in his opinion, it is eventually going to be the barrier islands, that they're just going to become less important because fewer people live there. A lot of them are vacation homes, and when you compare that to protecting big cities and the huge populations of East Coast cities along the water, he just says we're not going to be able to do both.
So you want to hear some of our listeners suggesting where you should visit on
Absolutely.
Your trip this week?
Yeah.
All right, WNYC's Janet Babin going from Cape May to Montauk to assess shoreline damage and shore community damage from Sandy at the three-month mark. John in Bradley Beach, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Thanks, Brian, and great project, Janet. I want you to come to any beach in Monmouth County, New Jersey, because pretty much every beach in Monmouth County, New Jersey, had a beach designed, engineered by the Army Corps of Engineers. It was built with taxpayer money, and these towns got destroyed. Spring Lake, Delmar is still pushing out to close. They haven't been able to go there for 3 months. Asbury Park, Monmouth Beach, Seabright, they all got Army Corps-built engineered beaches, and they all got destroyed. I'm just saying this to counter the narrative that's out there in the media that literally people are saying wherever the Army Corps built the beach, everything was fine, and it's not fine. And just one caveat, I live in Bradley Beach. We built our own dunes at our own expense after the Army Corps left, but nobody is answering this question for me. Why didn't the Army Corps build dunes, you know, when they built these beaches 10 years ago? It's just off the radar. Nobody's asking it. I'd love for you to ask that.
John, thank you. And have you already explored this question? Because we know he's right that the Army Corps of Engineers, federal government, has helped construct, I think, dunes as well as other beach replenishment all along this area.
They have. They've spent spent millions of dollars, Brian, and there's evidence by their own admission. The Corps says that 10.5 million cubic yards of sand was lost from these very same beaches just during Sandy. This is a very controversial issue. I'm so glad John brings this up. There are some researchers out there who say that beach replenishment is a waste of time, that it only lasts for 2 to 5 to 7 years. No one's really sure how long that these projects last, and that they shouldn't be done. And someone who's studying that is Rob Young. He's with Western Carolina University, and he said that it's an absolute waste of money that we keep redoing these beach nourishment projects that only work for so long. And as sea level rises and climate change continues, the beaches are going to take more of a pounding, so the projects are going to last for less amounts of time.
And you can understand why people would ask, why can't the beach communities pay for the restoration and maintenance of their own beaches with the revenues generated from tourism and beach fees and all that stuff, rather than have to rely on the taxpayers from all over the country through the Army Corps of Engineers?
That's right. I mean, tourism is a huge industry in New Jersey, $37 billion, it's estimated by some accounts, and perhaps some of that money should go to beach replenishment projects, but local townships in New Jersey only end up paying about 10%. The state picks up another portion of that, and of course the feds pick up 65%. And I did ask some local mayors here, you know, could you afford to pay it yourselves? And they say absolutely not, that they are strapped, that there is no way, especially now dealing with all the destruction of Sandy, that they can take on more responsibility for beach nourishment projects.
Zachary in Somerset, you're on WNYC. Where should Janet Babin visit?
She should definitely visit Belmar in Monmouth County, which was mentioned earlier, because the mayor there, Democrat Matt Doherty, has worked very closely with Chris Christie on rebuilding the entire boardwalk by Memorial Day, the beginning of the summer. And from what I've heard from Mayor Doherty, it sounds like he is still a proponent of keeping homes and businesses along the beach in the long run, which is not, you know, accepting the fact that perhaps global warming will adversely affect it in the long run, and that, you know, looking way down the line, he shouldn't actually do that. So I think it's a bit of a controversy, but Belmar is certainly a town that she should stop by.
Zachary, thank you very much. Well, Janet, Governor Christie has adopted new federal flood maps, I see, which I think are relevant to his call, because they mean that homeowners either have to raise their houses up or pay a lot more for flood insurance, in some cases more than $30,000 a year. So that's not a viable option for a lot of people. Maybe raising their houses up on high, high stilts isn't a viable option either. So what's the governor getting at?
Well, this has been a problem from the very beginning, even before Governor Christie addressed this, Brian. As soon as I started reporting after Sandy in New Jersey, local mayors were telling me that this was a dilemma, that homeowners, first of all, didn't know how high they had to raise their homes, and they didn't know if they had to raise them, and then they didn't know how they were going to pay them, because even if they had flood insurance, and many people I met don't have flood insurance, if they had flood insurance, there was no guarantee that the flood insurance was going to be able to cover all the damage that happened to their homes, as well as the cost of raising up some of this slab construction and other beach construction homes. You can imagine, it's not so easy to lift up a home like that. It's going to cost $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in some instances, and this is not going to be covered by flood insurance, even if people have it. It's just not enough money. So the question then becomes, do I take out a home equity loan? Can I afford to take out a second mortgage on this house of mine, whether it's a year-round house or a vacation home? And on top of it, if I don't, am I going to have to pay this exorbitant flood insurance cost? People are trying to make those decisions now. And again, we talked about that strategic generational retreat from the beaches, from the Jersey Shore. This might be a part of that.
WNYC's Janet Babin on the three-month mark since Sandy, making the coastal tour this week from Cape May to Montauk. And we're asking, where should she visit? Alexa in Rockaway Beach, where should Janet Babin go?
I just wanted to say I think your project is great, and you should come check out Breezy Point and Rockaway Beach, New York.
What do you want her to see there?
Well, just look at the beaches and stuff around the homes burned down and breezy, and it's a lot of damage in Rockaway, and, you know, at least see some progress. The beaches are getting cleaned up, but just come visit and look at it and look how far we've come, and you can do a little report on it, and you can see the ground eroding right before you get on the beach. A lot of the ground, you know, turning more round and cracked. It's pretty cool, but I think the project's great, so I'm a fan.
Alexa, thank you very much. And Rockaway Beach? The Rockaways on your itinerary?
Well, Brian, as you know, we've had reporter Stephen Nesson at the Rockaways. We might stop by. There are so many places we want to get to. But it's interesting that the caller brings up the erosion she sees on the beach, because researchers know that beaches here used to be 70 miles in some cases to the east of us, and they're all moving landward over time, and that is continuing, some say accelerating, because of sea level rise and climate melt. So that is happening. That is real. It's interesting that she could see it so clearly after Sandy, that erosion is happening. It's actually happening all the time. We just don't notice it.
Are they having the same kinds of debates about whether to rebuild in Coney Island and Brighton Beach and the Rockaways and Long Beach that you were just describing with respect to the Jersey Shore?
You know, I think it's less pronounced there. And even in New Jersey, this is a bit of a muted debate, right? I mean, everyone I speak to thinks it's heresy not to rebuild. They can't imagine life without their little slice of heaven on the Jersey Shore. And these are not, you know, wealthy people at all the time. I mean, there are middle-class families here. There are lower-income families with trailer park homes. They can't imagine moving away from the shore, and so it's a very heated debate. And you know, and I imagine in Coney Island, it's the same thing. I mean, it's such an established area. To speak of not rebuilding, it's hard for a lot of people to imagine. But these researchers say we've got to start imagining it, or we're going to be paying billions of dollars to keep things as they are, and they won't be able to stay that way anyway.
And there we have to leave it with our first check-in this week with WNYC's Janet Babin on a three-month after Sandy beach tour from Cape May to Montauk. Good luck out there. We'll talk to you as the week goes on.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, Connecticut Congressman Jim Himes on a variety of things. Newtown residents joining in Saturday's gun reform march. His district abuts Newtown. Also on the new immigration reform compromise that's leading the news today, and why President Obama is appointing prosecutors to oversee Wall Street. He's on the Financial Services Committee. We'll see what he thinks about that. Congressman Himes, up next.